Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, this is Tom Cruise, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this really, really great Sandspants radio podcast. Wow.
Hey, party people. It's your girl, Brie Larson, here. And when I'm not eating pizza, pretending to play Animal Crossing, making the worst movies of all time, or eating pizza, you better believe my ass is sitting down and listening to a brand new episode of Hey Fam.
Kick it off.
Just debating the Apple TV OS versus LG OS.
Well, specifically, we were saying whether you should use an HDMI cable or an optical cable to connect your soundbar to your television. Just cool shit. Cool shit that men in their almost 40s talk about.
Yeah.
24/7.
TVs do need more HDMIs. Like, that's without a doubt.
It should be minimum 10.
100%. Yeah. I want to be jamming all sorts in there, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
I want to have like one that's just always free for a rainy day.
I guess the Switch doesn't need to be in there all the time, you know, because that shit's portable.
But I don't want to be unplugging and plugging an HDMI.
It's so horrible.
Yeah. Especially, you know, I've got my TV flush against the wall.
Oh, yeah. You getting behind there is going to be...
Actually, it's easy because I've got a really great mount.
It's going to be like Nathan
mount.
Drake stuff. You're going to have to...
Look for the yellow tinge.
Yeah, you're going to have to do a puzzle.
Yeah, perfect.
You have to rotate some stuff in a room.
The fuck preview have you got playing on your television right now?
You know what? This is a good
tease
if ever. This is the Apple TV MonsterVerse series Monarch about
John Goodman's in this motherfucker.
John Goodman's in it.
That's cool.
You got Kurtie Russell and his son.
Okay, I've
got
to watch this shit, but I need to watch all the other American monster movies.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I think there's
Party Monster.
Yeah,
Monsters Inc.
Our Real Monsters.
Yeah,
Monsters University. Monsters Ball.
Yep.
Looks like the big dude's in it.
The big fella, Godzilla. We'll be hearing a bit more about him later. So yeah. we saw Godzilla Minus One last night.
Yeah.
It was great to see a good movie.
That wasn't a math IMAX. Issue. That wasn't a maths problem in that we didn't see a movie last night. Or
it's,
we actually saw a film. I wish
it's
I could
so
minus-
funny that Angus, world's biggest Evangelion and Metal Gear Solid fan, is complaining about...
I'm not complaining.
You were like,
what's the title mean?
Yeah, sure.
And I
what
me, do you think it means?
Smartest guy in the room.
What do you think it means? Because I'll tell you what it means because I wrote about it today.
Well, for me, it's like Godzilla was created in like, is 1954 the first time a movie comes out? And so it actually should be called Godzilla minus 10 or minus 9 because this movie starts in 1945.
Yeah, you're way off. It's got nothing to do with that.
What is it about?
Just like Tokyo was ravaged. It had nothing. So it was like, it's Godzilla minus like they have no army. They have nothing.
Right. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what the director said.
Thematically, I'm not far off.
Well, if you made the movie, I'd be like, sure thing, man. But I'm going to take the direct. I mean, I love film. It's subjective and you can bring what you want to it. It's
what if I did reveal that I actually did direct Godzilla Minus One?
I wouldn't believe it for a minute at all. Not based on, you know, any of your
skills.
You make more films than I do.
I'm going to direct Godzilla Minus Two. Yeah, it's going to be portrait style.
What would the next
90
one be?
Seconds
yeah,
long.
It would just be Godzilla Zero, right? And then Godzilla One, Godzilla Two... would be Godzilla 4.
And all sequels,
just
it refers to how much more the country dealing with the problem has.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. No, that's a good idea. it's...
Fast and Furious 10, for example.
Because minus one makes no sense for your analogy. I just want to point that one out.
As in like it's the negative from the first
Godzilla
movie.
I think
Godzilla
it's like a new series. It's not like...
Sure, but you can call your movie whatever.
We could call it whatever, but I just want to be like, why is it called this?
I was fine with my interpretation.
Oh, I like to, you know, just ask some questions.
You can tell this episode's going to be a motherfucking heater.
Like, you know, when I saw that the movie was called The Marvels, I was like, okay, that's interesting. I wonder why they're called Marvel Comics and now they've got a movie called The Marvels. I'm like, that's very interesting stuff.
I'm of course.
I can't wait to see what they bring to the table. And, you know, Captain, it was crazy.
I wish they called it The Captain Marvels.
Oh, that'd be cool.
The Captain's Marvel.
That's what I'd say, Captain's Marvel.
Wow.
Marvel and Commander.
Imagine if they made a sequel.
Marvel and Commander would be cool because everyone, you know, Master and Commander is amazing.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Marvel and Commander would be even better.
Well, Vision's in Master and Commander.
Is he really?
And Kraven's father, Russell Crowe. It's basically, you know, I haven't watched Loki season 2, but I imagine at one point they're pirates.
Sure.
Like, well, they're definitely in like a royal
You're
fleet.
You're thinking of Kingdom Hearts, I think.
No, I'm thinking of Loki. They like, remember they travel through time and stuff?
I think they travel to like two different periods.
Well, yeah, a McDonald's.
Yeah.
And a movie theater. Both back lots. Both back shots.
I keep thinking about what an insane year next year is going to be. Like this, like...
Yeah, holiday.
The Sony superhero universe.
I'm going to be at every single... Premiere. What if we IMAX, pivot front and center?
What if we only talk about those movies for
I'd love to.
Every year, just Madam Web updates,
Venom 3 teasers.
Yeah, where's Kraven's Hunter, Kraven the Hunter's dad?
Yep. Michael Keaton watch.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Dr. Mike watch.
I'm into it. I love it. I'm kind of, like I said, I'm into that series just because of I've read that Marvel book and it's the type of series that they kind of turned. They did everything in their power to not become like.
Have you finished an MCU book yet?
I've got like two more chapters to go.
The good shit, I presume.
Eternals.
It's all up from here.
It ends at the end of phase 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Things were feeling real hopeful.
Yeah, things are great. Yeah. I'm just I just finished the end game.
Are we at the end of phase 5 now? I don't know where we're at in the phases.
I don't know. I don't think anyone knows. But yeah, it's been fascinating. It has literally been fascinating.
Have they talked about the Sony Marvel movies?
There's a bit about like the, not really so much the new ones, but the Amazing Spider-Man 2 tanking and Amy Pascal reaching out. And
yep.
Yeah, apparently, well, not apparently, earlier Joss Whedon wanted to have Spider-Man at the end of Age of Ultron. And when Captain America...
They make him in China.
Yeah, they build him, Vision, and uterus-free women in China. there's a good chunk of the book, a couple paras spent on saying like how horrible a writer Joss Whedon is in regards to Black Widow in particular.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the monster analogy she tries to forge and just like how off the mark he was.
Before phase 4, I would have said that's the lowest point of the MCU, that discussion.
But the beauty about that is, that sentence is, it's almost like they heard and they keep challenging. They keep challenging that statement every new film that comes out.
But I really want them to be like a tell-all Sony Marvel universe.
Brother, book. I think it's going to be us.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do it together.
I'd love to do it.
Arvi watch.
Yeah. I mean,
No, we should call it Thank You, Arvi.
Thank you, Arvi. Yeah. This without this man.
Is it at the end of Far From Home? Or No Way Home?
No Way Home. Yeah. No Stan Lee, nothing. Just big shout out to Arvi Aarad. Just like
the producer of this movie. So he absolutely put it in there.
I don't think he produced it.
Or was he just involved?
He was the guy that years ago was like, we should do he's the guy that years ago that sold. He bricked the deal. He sold the rights to Spider-Man for like $4 million.
He's definitely a producer on that movie.
Probably just like in title, like EP or something.
Sure.
Because I think he's forever tied. But he shouldn't be thanked. He's the guy that sold the licensing rights for $5 million.
Of course.
To Sony. And tried to sell Bozo all moment. Of Marvel's characters to Sony for, I think it was like $16 million.
Right.
It was just like, take them all. And they're like, yeah, no. They're like, imagine that world where they have every Marvel character. And for some reason, Feige's there in this world. Speaking of alternate universes, we'll be talking about a new anime adaptation that's hit Netflix this week.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Scott Pilgrim takes off, just in case.
Kevin Feige takes off. His hat.
Kevin Pilgrim.
Actually, there's a line in the book Chris Hemsworth's talking about his fits. About Feige's Fits. Fits.
Oh, yep. No way. Amazing.
They speak about... Like,
I just remembered you started an Instagram account called Feige's Fits.
Oh, yeah. I have so many that I forget about. They speak about like the first ever Comic-Con and how like he was dressed like shit and then chose a uniform afterwards, which I guess he just put a hat on top of whatever he was wearing because it still looks like
shit. And everyone
shit.
Was like, way to go, Kev.
Yeah.
Well, look, that's a great segue into some very important HeyFam news. We have been talking it up for months. Some could say we've been talking it up as something we will eventually do for years. We have finally made HeyFam t-shirts. Not only have we made two
t-shirts. We made one, we made two.
But we've also launched a store.
Yep.
A HeyFam Shopify account is up, ready for business.
Yeah.
Not just national business, international business.
Yeah, we're kind of the pit bull of sales, aren't we? Absolutely. We are worldwide.
Misters worldwide.
Yeah.
Captains worldwide.
Messers worldwide. Marvels worldwide.
But our Shopify address is it heyfamboys.shopify.com?
Let me just find that
you
out.
You better check that.
Yeah, heyfamboys.myshopify.com.
Okay.
We'll probably have a URL soon.
Probably.
But, you know, we just wanted to see if this shit worked first.
Yeah, definitely. And we've announced
and it works.
We did a soft launch in our Discord and we sold half the stock already.
Yeah, if you want to get one of two shirts, very important people are on them.
Yeah, so talk me through, I guess, like the ethos. I mean, everyone looks forward to the final episode, the final HeyFam episode of every year. Starting from last year when we announced the inaugural Guys of the Year Awards. And two guys who feature prominently in every list just last year, but that's the only one we've done so far. So every list. I imagine we're going to see them again this year.
I think so.
I'm just going to give you their first names, Kevin and Mark.
Yeah, and you can fill in those blanks. But
Well, no, they're going to think Smith.
Oh, no, not Smith. That would have been
Mark Webb.
Yeah, that would have been 5 years ago, both of those guys. Look, you know, we like clothes. I'd say probably some of the worst design clothes in the world, figuratively speaking, are podcast merch, things that like indicate you listen. Like, first of all, listening to a podcast is so embarrassing. You should never do that. If someone asks what you're listening to, you should always say like
Drake's new album.
Drake's new album, or like just like hard rock. Just like,
sure, okay. Like,
John Bon Jovi. You know what I mean? Like some hard shit like that.
I heard. I was on a extremely small flight the other day. It was just me and the pilot on a chartered flight that I had to take for a gig on Saturday
Johnny
night.
Johnny Trav, were
it
you
was
up there?
Hectic. I was feeling like all of those like musicians who died in the 50s.
Yeah, Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
Big Bopper.
The Big Bopper. Hey, baby.
That was sick that like he was, you know, the Drake of the 50s.
He's insane.
And all he did was say, hey,
just
baby.
He just did like a long intro.
And that's then, like and then Bebop like, a looper, right?
Yeah, like, we're going to go bong, gong, gong, bong. You can do a bad dong. That's music, my baby.
Music used to mean something.
Yeah, absolutely.
People
bring
were
back.
Crazy. World War II had just ended. And they were just like, just jumping on TV, yapping.
I might market myself as the Big Bopper sequel. The Big Bopper reboot. Bopper. Bigger Bopper.
The Bigger Bopper.
That's good shit.
Yeah, yeah. The Bigger Bopper.
Hey, baby.
That was such a cool move. I want to look at a photo of him quickly, if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course. Unfortunately, we didn't listen to Big
I'm
Bopper.
I'm going to pull up a Big Bopper pic.
But so I had to wear a headset around my
yeah,
head.
Yeah, you got
to
talk.
You got to communicate between the pilot because it's so goddamn loud in this tiny plane with a big propeller out the front.
Well, I am shocked. I thought the Big Bopper was black.
No, he's like the whitest
guy
ever.
He's like one of the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
This guy's an idiot. I immediately... He looks like fucking Laurel and Hardy. Look at this motherfucker on the phone.
That was the thing. He was like he was a goofy dude.
He was goofy, but I liked it. In my head, he looked like fucking like Stevie Wonder cool or something. Like he looked sick.
Right.
And now I see this. And he just looks like, he looks like the fat character in a 50s cover. Look at this.
He is. Okay. He's like the archetype for that.
That's actually a cool cover.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's like Romeo
Dialing. Can you please read out the name of that album?
It's Hello, Baby. There's a couple more O's than normal.
But we had to listen. He put on a music playlist.
He looks like someone.
He put on a music playlist and it was all just mostly 70s and 80s country. And in the middle of the flight, one hour.
Wait,
one
so
hour
you're listening to music on these headphones?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, could you not opt out?
He was like, let me know if you don't want to listen to this and we can put music on or just nothing.
I'd be like, I want to hear nothing but the roar of the engines.
Oh, no, it was so fucking loud. The headphones not only have noise canceling, but also like low country.
Did he do that? Do you think he was playing that just for you? Because he was embarrassed that he was listening to a podcast, like my, and he didn't want
it is
to
possible.
Know.
It was a quick play any music, and it was just like country. No, he said he grew up in America and just like grew up listening to like old country songs.
Okay,
but at one point on this playlist,
not you, him.
Yeah, thanks, bro.
not you, him.
There was a country cover of "Blaze of Glory" by John Bon Jovi.
Oh wow,
and it went really hard.
Well, yeah, that's what you should be listening to instead of podcasts, or at least lying to. To lying to
in
girls
a blaze
about
of glory. There's a lot of like Bon Jovi songs that I think I know every word to.
I reckon I know half of Bon Jovi
despite while never despite never actually like willfully like putting it on of my sure. own account, you know.
I don't
like,
know half good. Of a Bon Jovi song.
Always?
I don't know that.
And I will love you, baby.
I just managed to like to always. I dodged them like Neo.
If you told me to die nah. for
wasn't
you,
wasn't like around I me could. Peripherally. It's just corny ass music,
but it's good shit.
But better than podcasts. Yeah, oh, yeah for it's sure. good shit. Like
if you're in the mood for like the corniest song ever made.
Yeah, and who isn't?
It's, especially it's like back then you had two choices: Guns John Bon Jovi. Well, like no, this is like post Gunners, like when Always came out. That was like peak cornball John Bon Jovi.
Oh, okay.
When the world accepted that corniness, yeah. And then you also had Celine Dion. I feel like is his adjacent. Oh,
sure. Yeah, the world was a little confused. Kurt Cobain had died.
Yep.
Hip hop wasn't widely accepted as like a
always famously a song about John about Kurt Cobain.
Which one?
John Bon Jovi's tribute to Kurt Cobain. Oh, is
touching.
Always,
yeah, touching. And so was My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion. Yeah, there's nothing more embarrassing than cranking a pod. Just it's
well, no, worst. I would say there is something more embarrassing than cranking a pod. That's wearing a podcast t-shirt.
You're completely right. It is wearing a shirt that insinuates that you enjoy listening to podcasts and are in fact. You know, so proud about that fact that you will adorn your chest with a logo or
not even a logo, shit reference. The words that say, I listen to this podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we should have one that says like, I don't listen to Hey Fam.
Perfect. Because
people would buy, you know what I mean? People would buy it who don't listen, which is unfortunately more
huge
people,
market.
More people than don't.
Maybe one of the biggest markets we can market too is people who don't listen to our podcast.
Yeah, it goes like, you know, people who bought Wii's in 2006, huge market, and people who don't listen to Hey Fam. Yep. They're kind of like one and the same. So that could be another one. But no, we made shirts that, you know, if you listen to the pod, you'll have a little giggle. If you don't listen, you'd be like, oh, okay, what a weird shirt. But not weird in the point where it's like, please, sir, can you get off this plane?
Maybe.
Depends what plane you're on.
Yeah.
Depends which country you're visiting.
So let's describe which do you think is the lesser of less weird of the two T's?
Well, the less weird is Kev. The one that requires no reading.
Sure. Yep.
One requires like a very basic grasp of the English language. And this one is a shot of Kevin Feige, which we do not... buy the rights for at all. but no worry, because we've altered the image. Therefore, it's art, I guess, or satire. I'm sure some law could protect
appropriation.
It. Appropriate, yeah, whatever. And he is, I guess, if you knew Kevin and you knew the MCU, you'd double take the show and go, I don't remember a film called Hey Fam, because Kevin famously wears a cap that corresponds with the film's premiere, as yep. we know, as we love, as we hate. As
my
we...
favorites include him in a Shang-Chi hat.
Very cool. Yeah. Wakanda
him
forever.
In Eternals hat.
Just him chilling in a hat that says like, yep. like Black Power, essentially.
Perfect.
And now he's wearing a hat that he has...
it says White
one
Power,
one hat.
Essentially.
It says Black Power. It says, Hey, fam. It says, Hello, baby. We're going to change the name of the pod to Hello Baby.
Fully support this idea.
Hello
Baby.
Yeah, the Big Bopper Estate will take a cut of every episode, but you know what? It's going somewhere good. And yeah, it's just him kind of chilling like a villain, hat on that says, Hey Fam. So kind of, you know, let's call it stealthy logo placement.
Yep.
The second one is one, well, boy, probably would appeal more to non-Hey Fam fans as well. Just like... Fans of
not sleeping, getting up really
Jesus,
early,
and fans
praying,
of
and working,
taking care
the
of yourself,
yeah, yeah.
And being kind of notoriously not a good guy,
and only doing one take for videos that promote the New Zealand yeah. New Zealand branch of your burger chain
that promotes something that's going to generate money for you,
not just you, your entire family,
In fact. Your name is the name of the business, but you ain't got time, motherfucker.
Can we just take a quick moment to play that?
Please, I'd love it.
New video. We were, of course, talking about the latest promotional video for Wahlburgers. They're opening a new branch, which is in... Oh, I just realized that Wahlburgers AU follows me. That's great. But I'm not going to Wahlburgers AU. I'm going to Wahlburgers NZ.
Yeah, you got to go.
Because, yeah, they're opening a new Wahlburgers at Queenstown, New Zealand. Now, some of you might think that sounds a little bit similar to Queensland, Australia. And I know one famous one-take wonder that definitely thought that. Because here is the video that the poor social media team had to work with. Oh, wait. Is it
still
you're
reading
here?
Out your caption.
No, I'm not. No, I'm trying to find it. So, the poor social media team at Wahlburgers New Zealand had to basically just run with this shitty video where Mark... I'm gonna play the damn clip.
Just,
are you ready?
Just play the fucking clip, dude.
Damn. Congratulations to you and the whole Stocker family for another opening Queenstown. I'm so proud of you guys. I cannot wait to come and visit. You know, hopefully we'll have a quick resolution to the strike. We'll be shooting in Australia soon so we can visit all the stores in Australia. And of course, everywhere in Queensland and the new store in Queenstown. Thank you. I appreciate you. Awesome. Be safe. You know, I'm not going to...
Just amazing.
Incredible.
So a video where he insults his brother just for trying to be part of a video twice.
Yeah, the guy who's like the chef.
Yeah, and then he, like this video was filmed weeks ago at the very least because he talks about hoping that the strike will be over soon.
It's insane.
And then the best part of the video is when he says that Queensland. He can't wait to get back to Australia and visit all the locations in Queensland and of course your location in Queenstown. Like he has a moment where he realizes.
He's like, shit. There's multiple cities and areas with Queens in the title.
But wouldn't you
Southern
think
Hemisphere.
That, like...
Well, no. Did I tell the story on the pod?
I don't think you did. You told
me. Okay, because no, the reason why I don't think he would do another take is a good friend is friends with somebody who had to shoot a video like that. I don't want to say who they are, though. I know they listen, but shout outs to you, PJ. he has a friend who is involved with a shoot, a Sydney version of that. And... for the first Wahlburgers in Australia, where I bought the hat that I'm wearing right now.
Which everyone can hear. You can hear the hat right now.
You can hear it. Yeah. It's a slight Boston accent I've acquired. And if you're wondering, this is...
Just wait till he says the F slur later. You'll hear it really come out.
Which one? It's going to be so many. And fast. Fasting's the big F slur for the Wahlberg family. And a similar video was shot. Mark was hours late to set. Guy's standing there waiting, obviously being polite. Probably... being paid, but still, you know, got to be good on set. Number one rule, one that Mark doesn't follow. And then Mark rocked up. He did, I'd say, a very similarly unscripted spiel. And the, you know, the filmer, the cameraman played back the footage. It was slightly out of focus. I was like, Mark, can we just, you know, he'd waited hours, blah, blah, blah. Mark had just dipped in, did a little read, was about to jet. Guy stopped him, was like, hey, Mark, can we actually just do one more that's slightly out of focus. And Mark, you know, maybe even the outline of Mark, because he got out of there so fast, like a Bugs Bunny cartoon, just said, that sounds
exit,
like
he, stage right.
He said, what is now seared into my mind is just such a fantastic moment.
To this cameraman he'd never met.
The guy's like, Mark, the cameras, can we just get another take? You know, coverage, whatever. He just says, that sounds like it's slightly out of focus. And Mark just says, that sounds like a you problem, homie. And left. Just probably to like yell at someone who runs F45 about why he's losing money or star in a Ladbrokes ad or whatever like gambling ad he was doing. Like, you know, he has like, he's got a lot going on in Australia.
It's wild as hell.
So I was, you know, last week you had, so sorry. Yeah. The shirt is Mark Wahlberg in full Ash Wednesday. A tire on
so
the
yeah,
front.
So yeah, it's a selfie he took, or is it a screenshot from a video?
It's a screenshot that I had on my phone of him just describing what he's like giving up for Lent, or and he likes to call it the 40-day challenge. Remember when
he rebranded Lent into Mark Wahlberg's 40-day challenge. Just,
that's why he's sick, because he's taking like age-old traditions and rebranding it. Like he might rebrand Christmas to like Mark Wahlberg's gift giving day or something.
But we also shelve this for now. Next Mark Wahlberg show we make should say it sounds like a you problem.
Oh, 100%.
But so the t-shirt is Mark Wahlberg looking at the camera. He's got an Ash crucifix on his,
yeah,
on his forehead.
It's like, you know, he's probably rocking an iPhone 8. It's very like low res front.
Oh yeah, like the video we described earlier. It's somewhat out of focus.
It sounds like a him problem in this case. And then on the back we have
one of the greatest pieces of text ever.
Yeah,
published.
I hope like it's a Rosetta Stone for future civilizations. I hope someone or like an extraterrestrial, you know, species.
Moses should hold this list up as the new Ten Commandments.
I'd say so. Yeah, it is the tenets of the. It's the Mark Wahlberg tenet, and it's
his timetable.
It's the 2 a.m. rise and grind, getting up, praying, etc. But we have substituted one of them. We won't say what, because you've got to buy the shirt or go to the website to check out one of them. Of the many tasks Mark does in a day has been replaced to listen to Hey Fam.
Yeah, that's the only Hey Fam reference on the t-shirt.
It's great. It's like, cool.
It's, you know, it's a subtle reference to a podcast on an otherwise extremely easy to understand t-shirt.
No hoops to jump through. So if you like explaining things to relatives, you don't see that often. We've got two gift ideas for you.
And we want you to wear these t-shirts all, this holiday season. And
yep.
We want you to then email us all of the weird interactions you're forced to have explaining these t-shirts to your loved ones.
Or if you pay, if you get one for a family member who is cooler than you and us, i.e. doesn't listen to podcasts, please take a photo of them wearing it.
Perfect. We'd love that.
I hear the Mark shirt pairs deliciously with the film Shooter. If you need to get an uncle who kind of looked at you funny many years ago, or maybe a grandmother present, you can substitute that one for Father Stew. But I hear these are the unofficial Mark Wahlberg collab packs that we're just organizing for you now.
Hopefully he'll make an Instagram reel about his t-shirt soon. Pair it with some municipal sweatpants.
Yeah. He has been going, you can tell municipal, he's probably been diverting his attention elsewhere. And it looks like the folks that run the company for him on his behalf have been asking Mark to record a bit more than usual, because there has been like a very steady, you know, like the faucet is full of it's on blast. And I've gotten like 20 videos of him working out of municipal gear, just talking about, well, just not really talking.
I reckon that's his business that makes him the most money directly.
So I don't think so at all. I think it's like, they barely sell anything. They're like, they've been demo previewing the shoes for 2 years.
That's true. And he did say he was going to make shoes with the timetable.
And he hasn't.
On it.
Yeah, I mean, no, I reckon the one that makes the most for him is probably some like production company or something. So what I was going to get to is, you know how last episode you were like, hey, you know he's moved to Vegas.
Mm.
So that didn't work out. Within 3 months, he sold it, moving back to LA because he was going to make Hollywood in Vegas. Didn't work out.
Wow.
He's already sold and is like moving back. So I think he's in dire need of money.
Well, you can.
So you can take more money from him by buying this shirt.
Exactly. You can salute two of the guys of the year, Kevin and Mark, by going to heyfanboys.myshopify.com. We'll probably put the link to the shop in the show notes.
Vegas.
Please,
oh yeah, we'll put them in there.
Please. Represent HeyFam. So the first time you've ever been able to.
So he spent 21.2 Australian million on a Las Vegas villa.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he's
sold it for how much less than that?
Look at this. Mark Wahlberg splashes 21.2. That's like a few months ago. And then you scroll down. Mark Wahlberg explains why he sold the Vegas townhouse. It's like he sold it. The other guy's star and his family moved to Las Vegas from California. Mark Wahlberg made a surprising real estate move selling the Vegas townhouse. He explained, when we decided to move to Vegas, we wanted to move before school started. So we moved into a temporary place and now I've moved into another place. Oh, I don't understand.
Sounds like a him problem, homie.
Yeah, this is boring. It sounds like he's dodging.
Well, I mean, hopefully he doesn't get too broke to the point where he has to start suing people using his likeness without permission.
He still lives in
Vegas.
That's fine.
It's hey, fam.
He's just moved elsewhere.
Okay, right. He's still setting up Hollywood too.
He lives in a gated community that houses Celine Dion. Throwback. Wow. Nick Carter, Mike Tyson, and Nicolas Cage.
Whoa.
So apparently there is low crime, light traffic, and great tax benefits and lack of paparazzi.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But for how long?
Well, Mark's there now. I mean, I'd love to see what the, Jamie, can you bring up Vietnamese hate crimes before and after Mark Wahlberg moved to Las Vegas?
And now, a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great deal.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Angus, what do you want to talk about first? Minus One or a big, long, deep dive into Scott Pilgrim?
Let's talk about Scott Pilgrim.
Okay.
Yeah, because you've just finished that. That's fresh on your mind.
Just finished it this morning.
I think we'll have way more to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. So Scott Pilgrim Takes Off is the name of a brand new adaptation of the comic book, first and foremost, by Brian Lee O'Malley. This came out...
But it's also, you know, the movie informs a lot of it.
Let's just talk about what it's advertised as first. Sure. I think, and try and talk about I guess, the history of the franchise.
Let's talk about our history with
that's
it.
What I mean. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think that was like something we bonded over. Or
absolutely. So the first gift you ever gave me Scott Pilgrim action figure.
That's right. Which is, I was looking at them on eBay this week out of interest. They go for like maybe $200 or $300 USD.
Damn, I'm holding on to mine forever.
So am I, man. I found mine the other day. It's in there.
Mine's always been on display on my shelf ever since you gave it to me.
You've got the purple shirt. I got the green shirt.
Love it.
And they come with like a base and a sword, right?
Yeah. And the sword has like a love heart.
So sick.
On it, yeah. This comic came out, I guess, early 2000s was the first.
I think 2004 was the first one. He'd Brian Lee O'Malley, Canadian writer and illustrator. He'd written a book called Lost at Sea, mm-hmm. which is like a small indie book.
Still never read that one.
Oh, I've got it there if you want to borrow it.
I'll definitely borrow it.
You know what? He did a deluxe recently, which is probably worth picking up. Yeah, I'll they did that. Like a 15 or something year anniversary. And followed it up. Then he wanted to do something completely different. It's quite an introspective, indie, small thing about, you know, very early internet core, mm-hmm. I guess, like feelings, emotional. Lumineers were a big band back then. But then he wanted to do something inspired by Shonen, he said. He said he wanted to do like a Shonen comic.
Yeah.
And he'd read as Ramna One Half.
Yep.
That was like his entry Ramna point.
Half, yep.
That's the only thing he'd read. And he's like, I want to tell...
By the great Rumiko Takahashi.
He's like, I want to tell a Shonen-informed story. Then about halfway through the series, Tezuka started informing the last half, he said, where he started like reading way more stuff.
Oh, that's why Scott Pilgrim fucks a dog in
that's why,
at the end
well,
of
Well, that's
volume
why
one.
Scott Ramona that is revealed to be actually like a giant dog woman.
A rat with a huge ass.
Yeah, a rat with a huge pussy. And that explains that. But yeah, it was kind of, you know, this small book, never meant to be too big. And it really took off, I think, especially when it was announced that Edgar Wright was adapting it with Michael Cera. Like, because it was kind of, I believe it was announced like almost midway through.
Yeah, so I started reading...
Because there's 6 volumes. They're quite small. They're nothing big.
And yeah, I started reading when it was like, yeah, just the small black and white volumes. Yep. It was...
2004.
Comic book shops in Australia didn't have... all the volumes. It wasn't in that era of comics yet where like you just always kept a full series stocked.
It was hard to find.
Which, you know, we have very good these days. So you go to Kinokuniya, you can get pretty much all 106 volumes of One Piece then and there.
I was like poor uni person and I remember downloading them, scans and reading them on my iPad. Reading them on my MacBook Air.
Right, crazy.
Because I'd had volume one and couldn't find the other ones or impossible to buy in Australia.
Right.
And it was up until maybe 4 or something or 3. I can't remember.
Yeah, I started reading in like just before I started dating B. So it would have been like 2007 or so, which is like I think when 4 came out.
Yeah, that's when I started reading it.
And
a friend recommended it. She had a friend that worked at King's. And we're walking somewhere one night and she's like, oh, you've got to check out this book. Edgar Wright is about, and she was like a big Edgar Wright head. And she's like, it's been announced he's adapting it.
For me, it was like being, when B and I first started dating and I was living in a share house with my sister and 2 other people. And my room was just a pigsty of just like things that I'd been reading and just chuck on the floor. Like I didn't even have a shelf. Everything was just in stacks on the floor.
That's a classic like move out of home thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, like, and funnily enough, this series is all about like a guy in his 20s getting his shit together.
Yeah.
Which I definitely...
I mean, I think like, Volume 4 is called Scott Pilgrim Gets It Together.
Yeah, but... There were 2 big things that I knew I loved and B could see how much I loved them that she wanted to get into them too. And they're Venture Brothers, mm-hmm. which I remember season 3 was airing when we started dating. And then and I was so into the finale that she was like, I want to catch up and watch all this with you. And she did. And it was like, that's one of our favorite show together. And then Scott Pilgrim, I'm really excited for Volume 5 to come out. And she was like, what is it about? And she read it all. And like, as soon as I did, and then she was like, yeah, this is like when I was reading Harry Potter when I was younger, do you want to read that? And I said, no, hell, never.
You go, there's something transphobic about that one. I can't quite put my finger on it yet.
But for me, like, I think it was the perfect age to get into the Scott Pilgrim book. It was very referential towards like
video
games,
other
comics, anime, like
same generation. You'd say he'd be a silverback millennial, I'd guess, or maybe a little bit older, maybe slight Gen X because he's probably older. But yeah,
millennial cougar,
very like Nintendo, like
so many
early
Nintendo
Sega
references.
And Nintendo references and early PlayStation, indie rock, guitar rock. Just like, yeah, it's exactly, and like just that culture. And it was like, it's not at all the same, but like that kind of slacker Kevin Smith adjacent thing where it's like conversations.
Yeah.
So people like working minimum wage jobs. But the genius of this book is like it takes slice of life, slacker stuff, but marries it perfectly with this is Venn diagram with like your video gamey stuff because he has to fight Scott's whole thing is he meets this American girl. I love that we're describing this fucking 20-year-old book, but meets an American girl, Ramona. She's very cool, very mysterious. You know, we all meet those, unfortunately, stereotype girls at some point or fawn for them because we think we have to. And he has to, you know, fight her. No, her seven evil exes say, like, wait, we're going to fight you, Scott Pilgrim, if you want to date her. And yeah, you know, very obvious metaphor for like dealing with one's past, but I think it's a fantastic metaphor. It's like, cool way to, you know, that awkward thing about learning about somebody who you fawn over immediately and then realize they are like three-dimensional and have a past and
yeah, totally. You and it delves into like her romantic past, and then there are also like journeys into Scott's romantic past too, where you learn about the mistakes he's made in the past, and he does try and rectify some of them throughout the six volumes of the 100%. Series.
And then also that it's a huge, obviously, besides video games, like anime is another huge, and well, manga more specifically, is such a informs these books so much. So
he's half Korean, half Canadian.
Korean Canadian,
And obviously, like read tons of manga growing up. And
no, he said he'd only read Ramna.
Oh, crazy! Yeah. That's awesome.
And he's I want to make a book like that, and that's what he started.
I wonder how his, but his drawing style is so influenced.
He borrowed like a book, like how to. It's a famous like how to draw anime book. It was like even a monkey can draw anime. It's
yeah,
like a training book,
right?
And he like
my sister had tons of books. Like
he
that.
Learned like yeah. he learned from that.
Her year 12 major work, my younger sister, was like a... like
dog porn?
No, not quite that cool. But it was a bunch
of
manga.
Well, that's why she's not a master.
And she actually has all 8 volumes of an extremely out of print... what's Anno's wife's name?
Oh, yeah.
Like one of her series called like Sugar Sugar Rune.
Misato.
Yeah. Exactly. No, what's no, the character that he created?
Mari.
Yeah, Mari.
Ramona Flowers.
Yeah. But the... I had like a full collection of Scott Pilgrim original releases, but because it was, I had to source them all from wherever I could at the time. They were all different sizes because they were all published in different parts
imprint,
of the world.
There was a UK imprint. Yeah. I was lucky enough to get them all the same one. So my OCD bookshelf spine thing was
mine
fine.
Went up and down like a fucking
mountain
range, you know?
Yeah, like the Canadian Rockies.
But I lent them to heaps of people. I reread the first 4 or 5 books a few times. And yeah,
but now we're at a point where you and I have multiple sets.
We'll get into this is like full history. So the movie was finished before the book came out. Was did it released before the book
the
came
book
out?
Came
too?
Out. The final book came out a month before the film debuted, and obviously I guess it's a bit of a case of Game of Thrones, but the gap is much smaller. So I know Brian Lee O'Malley was heavily involved with the film and informed like what they would be wearing and the final set piece, but very different. The book focuses on so many other things, but you know, there was a general, he's like, this is what Gideon looks like. This is what his lair is. This is where it kind of goes to. But that would have been like, I'd say like 18 months, 2 years before that book came out, because you've got to build sets, you've got to shoot it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So he had a rough idea, but he then, I guess, got to kind of figure out where that ending led by, while giving himself some, maybe this is how it worked. Maybe he gave himself some signposts there, goalposts, and was like, I've got to get to this.
So I saw that movie maybe 4 times at the cinema.
Yeah, before, I think I was like between three or five, aka 4. Definitely. I remember taking my parents to see it.
Yeah.
I remember being blown away, being like, this is it. This is amazing. Well, I mean, I remember when the cast was announced and he had a... Edgar Wright set up a Tumblr for the... Or a Flickr account for the... That's how like... You know, pre-social media coded this was. He had a Flickr account and early iPhones.
Radio Maru was his name?
No, that's Brian Lee O'Malley's. Or maybe it was his account. I think it was Edgar Wright's account. Though it could have been Brian Lee O'Malley's. And he every day would like take a photo from set. And I think the first photo was like Wallace and Scott's apartment. And it was just like the famous Scott Pilgrim coat hanging on the wall. And each day it would be like a selfie of Ramona or just like a tease of like... a base, like it was so cool, and it was like every day there'd be a little
tease.
The hype
was building, yeah.
Yeah, it was so cool, and it was all shot on location in Canada. It was like, I don't know, just it was like, oh man, this is the cast was perfect. Each time a cast member was revealed, like,
and we were at peak, like loving Michael Cera. I still love him.
He's amazing.
Like, you know, we I think another very formative text for us is those first three seasons of Arrested Development.
Oh, and Superbad.
And Superbad, of course. But I mean, Arrested Development is very adjacent to Scott Pilgrim for me in that it was this thing that I felt I had to champion because it was going to be cancelled. You know
and,
what I mean?
And, you know, Michael Cera is Canadian, very perfect casting.
Yeah, there, totally.
It's just like, yeah, I remember every bit of information about this film as it was being made. I was just like, this is perfect. And then it was like, oh, Beck is going to write the Sex Bob-omb songs. And just like, cool, Nigel Godrick is doing the score. All these amazing things came, and you're just like, this is insane.
The movie had everything going for it. I think the first three quarters of it is like, that's the best thing Edgar Wright's ever done.
Hard to agree.
I hate the ending.
Same here. And the fucking ending is not the ending of the books. You know what I mean?
It's also not the original ending that was intended.
That's right. It comes with a deleted scene, doesn't it?
In the end, it was going to end up with the high school girl Knives.
With Knives. Yeah.
But I understand that from a cinematic point of view because Knives is the better...
She's done wrong.
She's the better developed character in the movie.
Yeah, and she's...
Ramona Flowers, as much as I love Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and it's not her fault, but I just... Like, Ramona Flowers is so uninteresting.
She's very one-dimensional in this book. And I forgot because I was after watching this series, in the movie, I was trying to remember like the differences, and man, the book has so much cool stuff. The cat Gideon that she has, which was, you know, they focus on in the anime a bit, it's in the background. The glow she would have and like what it meant, it was this big secret. And then Scott has the glow and it's like this thing about like, you know, it's another metaphor for... It's essentially like a metaphor for like getting in your head and depression and stuff about your past. But yeah, just like they were far more developed in the books even. And she was just kind of, you know, even though I guess she's almost a parody of Manic Pixie, she kind of just ended up becoming that in the film.
I think one of the film's great strengths is, and this is one of Edgar Wright's great strengths, is it is so tightly edited that he manages to condense
like
the first
books.
Five books into like an hour, basically. Yeah. It is insane how quickly that goes. And I love the pacing of it. But yes, when you do things like that with a massive cast of characters, a lot of them are, almost everyone is one-dimensional in that movie. But everyone but Ramona is one-dimensional and fun. Whereas Ramona is one-dimensional and
moody,
not fun.
You can't
understand why Scott even likes her.
Yeah, and in the book that, you know, she's withholding for a reason, it explores that a lot more.
Absolutely.
And it's about like she runs away from her past, her exes, she's you know, like very normal behavior. You're scared to get attached to someone because you're scared of yourself doing that shit again. And yeah, she's like far more sympathetic in the book, and you're like, oh, this makes sense why this guy wants to, you know, not metaphorically, but literally fight for his love.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's so, I don't know, I love it. It's like, it's just such a cool, for a particular, you know, it was right place, right time for you and I. We are
absolutely
of that generation. And
well, I mean, I feel like a lot of people hate it just because of the idea that at the beginning of Scott Pilgrim, Scott is dating, I'd say in air quotes, because I don't think he even kisses her, but he's kind of seeing a 17-year-old who still goes to high school, despite being 23. And I think, and I know, like, I feel like a lot of old cunts like us will always be like, guys, it was 2004. We were all reading Vice. Like, that shit was not as big of a deal.
It was not a deal.
I
remember when I read that. It was not a deal. Like,
I guess because
like,
in the
book, the characters are like, Scott, she's a high schooler. You're fucked. Like,
when
he's
I, dude, when
out
I was
for
at
it.
High school, like, 3 to 5 girls in, like, year 10.
Had a 25-year-old boyfriend.
Exactly,
when I was in,
like,
year 11 and 12, and I was like, oh, I guess that's
I definitely thought that was weird.
Yeah.
But I knew I had a comparison point for it, for the Scott thing.
It was super normal when we grew up.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
I
had a very close friend, and she had, like, this 25-year-old boyfriend, and, like, she would come to school on Monday coming down because I'd go to like Bush Doofs and stuff. He'd sneak her in. And
oh, no, I had like a 20-something-year-old boyfriend come pick up the girls from school. And
I had a 25-year-old boyfriend
on a fucking motorbike. You know, like it was so lame.
That's insane.
I remember thinking it was lame as hell back then, but I also just thought it was just like, oh, that's just what something that some girls go for.
Well, I just remember being like, she's got issues. Like, she's got dad issues. I think it's no doubt she did.
And also, he has even worse issues.
Oh, well, yeah, because at the time, it's so funny. Like, when you're 16 to like 25, that's fucking like 4 to 50 in age difference.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And now you're like, 25, what a fucking loser. Like, what a pedo.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, the characters, like Kim and Steven and Julie,
but, you know what,
his sister, everyone roasts him for it in the book. They're like, Scott, you're dating a high school. They're like, she's so nice. You've got to just like leave this poor girl alone.
And like I feel like people, I know, like, you know, just like I knew a lot of girls that were like 15, 16 dating 23-year-olds when I was in high school.
Mm.
I now know like a shitload of 23-year-old girls who are the girlfriends of a lot of 40-year-old guys, you know? Like, it is this, like, weird age gap thing that people seem to overlook.
Yeah, it's true.
I know, like, I have a few friends that, like just cannot, like, Leonardo DiCaprio, for one, my good friend, just cannot date older than 25. And every time, like,
is
they
that
get...
Me?
No.
I was joking. Oh, just a joke.
But, like, you know, like, they're like, oh, yep, that your relationship ended after 2 months again.
Weird, huh?
That's weird. I you keep getting older, but they keep...
How come you've got grey hair now?
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, taking them to, I don't know, Santa photos.
Yeah. You know, Bianca older than me.
Hot.
I'm Brett.
Fuck yeah, dude. Who's the pedophile now?
Yeah. But yeah, like, we're not, neither of us are saying what Scott does is right in that book, but I think when,
like,
it was created,
being in your 20s,
it was
is
somewhat normalized.
But also, like, being in your early 20s is messy as fuck, as we've said so many times on this podcast.
And it is good to have a character with flaws. Like,
he's
you
so
aren't
flawed.
Meant to empathize with everything he does.
Classic.
Or anything. For
my, you know, one of the classic flags I fly, depiction is not endorsement.
And I feel like this...
Flawed protagonists are real.
Yeah. And I feel like the like... Scott Pilgrim, like the success of it and the reaction to that. I don't think
there was a reaction to that.
I think that came later.
Because
everything that Brian Lee O'Malley has done since, Second, Snot Girl, it's always female protagonists,
yeah.
Which I think people accept a flawed female protagonist faster
than
they
a
do
man,
a male. Yeah.
Character. He also said, like, a great Variety piece came out today. They promised to withhold it until the episode. They maybe interviewed Brian Lee O'Malley and... Who's the other creator? This is so the other showrunner.
Yeah, I'll look it up while you talk about it.
So they're like been friends for like over a decade. He and Brian Lee O'Malley.
Yeah,
and it's a Variety interview of like the cast and those two,
mm-hmm.
just about how this came to be. But he's like, oh, every day I'm he's like the he basically says what you just said. This is why I want to say it. He's like, I'm getting older, but the fan base of Scott Pilgrim stays the same.
Sure.
He's like, every day I'm still getting like fan art on Instagram, TikTok, like he's like people are doing like who's your favorite character. He's like, I'm tagged in so much Scott Pilgrim shit. But he says
Ben David Grabinski.
Yeah,
is
Grabinski.
His name.
That's right. So they
who
they,
doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. I don't
they know, were friends years ago. They met through like a writing course or like a writers group.
Yeah, he has not done anything I've ever seen or heard of. Happily, Are You Afraid of the Dark and Skip Trace.
Yeah, that's right. Happily.
Which is a Jackie Chan and Johnny Knoxville movie. Maybe
we
should watch
awesome.
That.
That rules. Yeah, they had dinner. It was going to like, well, we'll get to this later, but basically he was the one that came up with a lot of the ideas for this because he knew Brian Lee O'Malley said, I screenshot this quote. He said, this, and this is not in relation to the series. It was just maybe an interview a while ago. He was asked, you know, what would you ever consider writing about Scott again? And he quoted Hergé about Tintin. And he said like in the later years of Tintin, he was like, this doesn't feel real anymore. He's like, I've moved on from what Tintin is. And for me to write Tintin now is fake.
Sure.
I'm just going to find, it was a great quote, but he's like, I don't ever see.
You got the gist of it. Don't worry about
but
it.
But he's like, I don't see if I could ever like rewrite Scott Pilgrim or he's like, I'm not interested in revisiting that. He's like, it's a time and a place for me to go back there is kind of like, and it's, yeah, I guess it's kind of been this one thing he's remembered for. Ain't no one saying like, I'm sure a few people saying like, oh, you know, Lost at Sea changed my life or...
Snot Girl has a huge following.
Snot Girl
and
has a
Seconds,
huge following.
Isn't Seconds getting an adaptation?
Seconds has been in like development for a while. I think a live action one.
Seconds goes hard. I love that book.
Seconds is fantastic.
So Snot Girl's probably my favorite thing he's written though. I don't know if you've ever read that. It's excellent.
I haven't. Now that I've been...
Talk about a fucking flawed hero. She's hectic.
I got to read that shit. But yeah, he's like, to write about Scott now is just, he's like, that's a time and a place and it's not what I am. Like,
yeah.
But, you know, thus comes this series where he can kind of... And yeah, I watched it basically in just like two sittings and I think you did as well.
Yes, I started it yesterday and finished it this morning.
Oh, sorry. Yes, it was announced last year, I think, wasn't it? It was maybe a year
and a half
ago.
It was this year, wasn't it? It was now.
Well, oh, maybe. But yeah, it was again...
Came out of nowhere for me.
Like, came out of nowhere and it was just insane that it was like Sian Saru... Brian Lee O'Malley, Edgar Wright involved as producers and Brian Lee O'Malley writing it all and the entire voice cast from the movie returning. And I was just like, what the fuck? Now, in this piece that came out Variety today, they said they contacted. So basically, Universal...
We're not doing any spoilers for the anime and HeyFam, by the way. We'll save it for
PayFam. Yeah, we'll save it for PayFam. The Universal kind of hit up Brian Lee O'Malley and maybe... No, Edgar Wright. And was just like, hey, is there something else we can do with this IP? They're like, it did tank when it came out. for opening week, like it bombed. It was seen as a
huge bomb. I remember that was like one of the first things that I ever loved with all my heart.
I couldn't believe it.
I was like, it seemed like it had everything going for
yeah,
it. Like,
soundtrack was crazy. Video game, which we haven't even spoken about. Came out in conjunction with the film.
I bought the video game. I bought a PS3 just so I could play the video game.
Did you come to my house to play it?
No. I bought a PS3 the day it came out. I went to Kmart, which used to be open till midnight.
Broadway?
No, 24 hours. Bondi Junction? 24 hour Kmart at Bondi Junction. That's right. I went there and I bought a PS3 and then downloaded the
because it's only available on PSN.
Yeah.
And now it's on everything. Switch. Yes. I got a deluxe edition during COVID, I believe. So fucking cool with the DLC. It bombed, which was bizarre. And I think it hindered Edgar Wright's career to a degree. And
Michael Cera's career.
It's insane because
no one else's career. Everyone else
became
cast.
Fucking superstars after that.
Superheroes.
Yeah. Most of them became superheroes or Ewan McGregor's wife. Universal reached out.
So it's like she already was a super. Oh, she did become a superhero though.
Mary Elizabeth. Right. She's in
the same movie he is. Yeah. She's a bird of prey.
She is a prey bird.
Yeah. Praying bird.
A praying bird.
And but she was also in Sky High. She was a superhero first.
She wasn't Sky High. You're right. Underrated she went to a fucking movie. High school for. And she's in a, real superhero. She had a foot shot in Death Proof.
Yes,
she goes shoeless in Death Proof of Kurt Russell, who I think Kurt Russell's in Sky High, isn't he?
Yep.
Is that a sequel to Sky High? Is that
banger a banger movie? What a banger movie.
Death Proof or Sky High?
Sky High.
You know who else is in Sky High?
Someone.
Skylar.
Skylar Gisondo.
Yeah.
He's like a kid, right?
I think he is.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure.
It seems like way before his time. He'd be like 4.
How old is he? I mean, he looks 4.
He's like early 20s, right?
I reckon he's a little older than we give him credit for.
Big Skylar. Big news for the Gisondo heads.
I'm a fucking idiot. Sorry, I confused him for another goofball. Cousin Greg.
Oh, okay, right.
Cousin Greg's in Sky High.
Okay, right.
Fuck, it'd be funny to think right now if they recast Scott Pilgrim, Cousin Greg would be in it. Who are some IT people?
Finn Wolfhard is in the anime.
Finn Wolfhard,
I think for sure he'd be
Finn
in it.
Finn Wolfhard would be Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, yeah, 100%. Kieran Culkin could still be Wallace. He hasn't aged. Okay, that'd be funny. We can do that next week. Let's recast Scott Pilgrim for now. I could do one more. Who would?
Well, it'd be a bunch of. It would be a bunch of teenagers from either Stranger Things or Thingo.
It would be HBO show. What's the chick that plays Wednesday?
Yeah, Jenna Ortega.
She would be Ramona. Or
yeah,
something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She'd be Ramona.
Perfect casting.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, that. She even looks
it'd be Finn Wolfhard and Jenna Ortega.
There you go.
And it would be a Netflix series.
I'm surprised if she wasn't in this.
Yeah.
Like in the other versions, but yeah. They reached out and were like, is there a way for us to keep this IP going? Because it is very popular online. Like, it is still a beloved franchise. They understood there was value, but they didn't want to do a live action film. And he was like, maybe an anime or something. And then whoever spoke to him at Universal, I forget his name, but years later, ended up working for Netflix's animation department.
Right.
Not years later, like a year later. And knew how much everyone still loved Scott Pilgrim. And then it was this guy that pitched it to Science-Saru because Netflix have a situationship with Science-Saru. And kind of got that ball rolling. And then it came back to Brian and Edgar and they're like, would you be interested? And they're like, yeah. And Brian never wanted to do a retelling or anything. But then they reached out at one point to the cast and they're expecting, they're a massive cast, as you just said, between all of them, in some of the highest grossing movies of all time.
They all had an email thread going that from email the thread Scott, original Scott Pilgrim movie days. Yeah.
But then they asked,
and
they
said Michael Cera bumped it by posting a meme in
there. No, he responded to a meme.
Oh, wow.
And was
so
haha,
funny.
That's funny. And they're like, what the fuck?
Like 5-year-old email.
Yeah, he was just going through and hadn't read it, which is very funny to think about.
And then so they all start talking and roasting Michael Cera.
Then they were like, hey, would you guys be interested in this? And they were expecting maybe, they gave them 6 to 8 weeks. They're like, oh, we'll know in a few months. And they're like, by lunchtime that day, everyone had gotten back and said, yeah, we're all in.
That's so cool, and man. If it's bullshit, it's so
cool.
No,
they speak to the cast in it and they sent everyone the first two episode scripts and there's we're in for a second season if there's one. It was non-negotiable and Michael's so amazing to come back and play this character. Just I have such fond memories of them. And then Brian Lee O'Malley was speaking about how the actors actually informed this series because he took bits of the movie and stuff that they brought to the role. So it's kind of this really beautiful, natural extension of everything that's come before it.
Yeah, definitely.
It's cool. And I was kind of cautious about it. Part of me was It would be, you know, I'm excited if they're doing a straight adaptation, but like, it feels, Scott Pilgrim to me was always something that pushed shit forward.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite progressive in the way it presented itself into, not like, I'm not talking about like its optics or anything, but like, it just felt very Edgar Wright and Brian Lee O'Malley to do a straight retelling. And I'm like, I get it. It's been like 13 years, new audience, whatever. It's cool that it's anime. It's going to look like the book. The voice cast probably got, you know, they're probably like not really into it. They're just like reading off.
Well, for me, I was like, oh, there's it so much that the movie didn't cover. So I guess it makes sense to me to make a straight adaptation.
But I was also like, I'll watch it, but I'll probably watch like one every few days or something. You know what I mean?
Sure,
like,
yeah, yeah.
There's no need for me to like binge this.
Well, yeah, I'm very busy at the moment. And so when it dropped, I was like, oh, I'll get to it.
And that's not saying my Scott Pilgrim interest has waned. Like when the re-release of the game came out, I played that so often.
Sure.
And just played it again, played it with my, played it with someone the whole time, two-player mode. It's such a good game. And I was like, fuck. And then rewatched the movie and was like, fuck, it was such a cool time. And it just reminds me of a great... I think you and I were like the same age as the characters in the book as well. So it probably like resonates with us.
It was just cool being like, you know, like I feel like, yeah, I associate that with becoming better friends with you because like I would be like, oh, I saw it again. You're like, yeah, me too.
Yeah. No, it was just like, it was a cool time. I don't know. Yeah. I have very fond memories of
that. I remember like within like the day I got invited to a preview screening of it with the radio station FBI that I used to work for. So we saw it like a few weeks before it came out and it was just the full Dendy cinema just filled with like people that I worked with every day at the radio station watching this movie.
I remember that. The
most hipster way to see something.
Yeah.
And then when it came out, I saw it opening night with B I saw it again, like, you know, like the following week. And every time I saw it, I'd get more media related to it. So I bought the soundtrack on Apple Music, you know, $30 for like the full soundtrack, which is just one of the film's biggest strengths is all of the, like, yeah, the score by Nigel Godrich and all of the Sex Bomb songs that Beck worked on are fantastic.
The Metric song.
Dude.
The Brie Larson. Man, how good is it Pixies, when you hear it in like, the Metric song?
Yeah, totally. But like there's so, even like that song.
Oh, Broken Social scene.
I love that scene with knives looking on as that plays in the background. Like it is has some of the best.
Got chills in.
Not just needle drops, but also like the music just flows with the quick pace editing. It improves it so much.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the film's biggest strengths. And I bought that and I bought the score too, which has all of the...
The score's amazing.
And also the Animanaguchi stuff is on that too. Yeah,
the video game.
And even like the 8-bit stuff for the like the Universal theme and stuff like that. Yeah. I remember thinking the whole package was so sick. Then obviously the action figure from you, the video game that I bought a console for. Then they announced that they were going to re-release the comic book.
So OniPress were doing like every 6 months or every something. They're like, oh, every 3 months or 4 months, whatever. They're like, we're recoloring Scott Pilgrim.
And we're going to do a 1,000 of each volume with a special edition that comes with all
this.
The
Evil X edition. Because they're normal. So they were doing it. I think people actually got confused with how to read it because they didn't have like the volume one, volume two, etc. was so not prominent in the title. So now they've basically been reissued as just like Scott Pilgrim 1.
Scott Pilgrim 2,
much easier, very much more manga, but... that's when you and I were getting close and we were like, oh, look, in the States, they're doing this OniPress are doing like Evil X edition, but you get like, there's 1,000 copies that come in a gift set with
all this
signed like place
and patches and like, and
crazy
extra
stuff.
Art.
Did you see the letter opener?
I need to go through
Sword.
It all.
I went through
That's
them
right.
all like 2 days ago.
You get Kim's drumsticks.
Drumsticks. You get like, photo booth photos that like they've just drawn.
I'm sure
this.
There's a fucking lanyard in there.
There's a lanyard for the movie set,
great.
Lucas Lee film. It's
yeah,
all crazy shit like that. There's
That's
like
so
a
good.
Sex Bomb rocket ticket tour, just dumb shit like that. But it was so cool to see like an independent company do this, not like a. You know, I don't know. It didn't feel like.
But I remember every couple of months, you and me would be like, "Fuck, who's going
to
stay open? Stay up to like
midnight
tonight." And we'd have to one of us order, and it got more and more expensive. And I think we spent over $1,000 on those six.
You know, I found them all, and I still have all the plates that are like 78 out of 1,000. I think
amazing.
We're supposed to glue them in.
Yeah, right. I'm sure I kept it all together.
Yeah. I put them all here.
I put it all in a box.
Dude, it's so sick.
But like, I absolutely love this franchise.
They're all signed by him. They're all like, this is...
But there are a lot of people that I, like friends of mine that love all the shit that we love that have always avoided Scott Pilgrim just because they just
I can see why
thought
too.
It was bad.
I can see why. Like, I can see people looking at it uninformed and thinking it's like Big Bang Theory.
Sure.
Because it's like references. But you're just
it's like reference to indie rock video games and anime, which
like,
are like
I would be turned off by that. But then the thing is like the guy that wrote it isn't like a cynical NBC head. Oh, so you know what I mean?
And he only went on to make more comics. It wasn't like he went on to like be the EP of like some shitty sitcom.
Yeah. Or he wasn't like a 40-year-old white guy being like, what are kids into
these
days? He doesn't
even have a podcast.
No, he does not, but he might cool have two shirts. We'll never know. It wasn't like, the beauty of it is it's not a writer's room being like, what are kids like these days? Let's go on TikTok and make a nerd show about that. It was like, he was probably the same age as Scott when he started writing it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't, and also what I love about it, and I, what always reminded me of it a lot was Nirvana, the band, the show, it's inherently Canadian.
Yeah, of course.
They go to like Big Ed's store in
North. Yeah, totally.
Like, I remember watching Nirvana and they go to this like famous discount store in Toronto.
Well, and like, and Lucas Lee's movie isn't being shot in Hollywood. It's being shot in Toronto Wood.
Toronto Wood, yeah.
And just, like, yeah, just like dumb references like that. I love it.
Yeah, it's just, it was inherently Canadian.
The song Scott Pilgrim that we're going is by
Plumtree.
By a Canadian band called Plumtree. Yeah.
Which has inspired the song, the book.
The name
as well. Yeah. Inspired. He said that it inspired the opening line, I loved you for 1,000 years. He's like, that kind of was the inspiration for this series.
Love that song so much. So you don't need to have the insane history with this franchise that Angus and I have to enjoy this anime, but I would highly recommend at the very least watching the movie. And if you can read the series before watching the anime, I would not recommend, I mean, I'm sure you'd still enjoy it, but
you know what? I'd be so curious to see a read on this if you've not read it or anything. And, because, you know, I think it's going to be very different to what you thought.
Yeah, you texted me to be like, hey, look, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's not what you expect.
And I was like, watch this before it gets spoiled.
Yeah, basically, exactly.
I was just
like,
because I watched it at 6, the first ep. It came out in Australia at 6 p.m. Friday night. And I had a do at like 8, just around the corner for a friend's birthday. And I was like, I'm going to watch one just before I go. Been waiting. And then I ended up like mainlining 4 and showed up late. I was just like, text you. I was just like, you need to watch this right now.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I was DJing at the time.
Someone's going to rule. Oh, you're going to see a tweet.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, you need to.
So much shit gets spoiled for me these days. And I'm so glad that I managed to avoid it.
I was like mute everything to do.
Instead of spoilers, I just got people that I respect online being like,
watch this.
I was not expecting this to be as good as it is.
I think it's currently at like 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, which obviously isn't like, you know, the make or break.
Oh,
critics, it's
the worst people in the world hate this.
Well, it's the Last Jedi thing is happening.
Yeah.
It's critics are being like, this is great. It's subversive. It's an artist. It's, you know, two of my favorite things, as you know, is The Last Jedi and Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Yeah.
And this is like, I mean, we'll get into spoilers in the next episode, but this is like that.
It shares a lot of common DNA with the Evangelion rebuilds, for sure.
Well, and also with The Last Jedi in the sense where it's like, let's take a look at what makes Scott Pilgrim, and kind of challenge that a bit.
So we're going to get right into the Scott Pilgrim anime. What's it called?
Scott Pilgrim Takes Off.
Takes Off.
If you're like, why is it called that?
Oh. You'll know.
Watch that first episode, buddy, Betty.
We're going to go full spoiler territory for PayFam this evening, this afternoon, morning, whenever the fuck you're listening.
Whenever you're listening.
And we're also going to go do a review of the latest Godzilla movie, Godzilla Minus One.
It's going to be crazy.
And you can come and hear that amazing episode at patreon.com/HeyFam.
Get a freaking shirt.
That's patreon.com/HeyFam. We'll have all the information for our merch there too. Plus you can join our Discord, talk about these. It's been a great week of content. You can come talk to us. Come talk to us about it. We're here for you.
Come talk to me.
The consultation only costs $5 a month.
Yeah.
And you can talk directly to me and Angus. USD is true.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you can claim it on Medicare or anything at the moment.
We're working on that. Fee. Yeah.
We're working on our, we're working on our doctorates at the moment, I guess.
But yeah, come join us for PayFam. It's going to be sick. Thanks for listening. Head to a second URL. You should head to heyfamboys.myshopify.com. Cannot wait to see a sea of Kevin Feige and Marky Mark t-shirts.
Yeah, I can't wait at the, you know what? The good news is there isn't another Marvel movie for quite some time. So you've got a couple months to get it and age it naturally. And more importantly, find a pair of bootcut jeans and suit jacket that go well
Perfect.
With it
yep.
to pair for the red carpet of Deadpool 3.
Excellent.
which, if you're not going to Deadpool 3 red carpet wearing the Kevin Feige shirt, then are you even going to the Deadpool 3 red carpet?
So true.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.